Welcome to Here's the Sitch Podcast.
What's up, guys? Mike Situation here, and I'm with my beautiful wife. And today is our first podcast.
Yeah.
And what are we going to talk about today, honey?
What are we not going to talk about? I feel like is the question.
I like that, honey. Well, a lot of the fans have been hitting us up on social medias, and they kind of want to know how we turned a negative situation into a positive. And I think that they don't even want to say hear my side. They want to hear the Boehner. And who is the Boehner? That is my wife. That is my wife's nickname. That's what I call her. I call her the Boehner. That started all the way in college. But honey, I want to know, and the viewers do, what was going through your mind in the beginning of our comeback? Okay, maybe towards when we were in recovery.
Oh my goodness, you went like right for the jugular.
I know.
Here.
Listen, we gotta go for the good stuff.
We went right for the juiciest, deepest. Tough question. I was in the trenches.
You sure were.
So I get very emotional when interviewers and people actually ask us that question because it's such an emotional replay in my brain and my heart of what we went through and how hard we fought to get where we are today.
Yep.
And it's just really being resilient and having, or at least from my perspective, is the resiliency and the unwavering faith.
Oh, love it.
In your God and higher power,
yes.
That things will get better day by day and just doing the right thing as you're trying to, you know, grow and become better in your relationship and professionally and just building on one day at a time and really, really doing what you're saying one day at a time, not just talking the talk, but actually walking the walk and not getting tripped up about looking for the next job or the next opportunity or the next thing and living in the moment and taking it one day at a time.
Yeah, I love that answer, Mrs. Situation. But you also have to explain to people that this is over, you know, quite some time. This is not
years.
You know,
this is not days.
This is not weeks, guys, not months. This is years and years of doing the right thing, staying in faith, working as a team, and also sort of like she said, continuing to sort of work on being yourself. Because I believe that we are a masterpiece and a work in progress all at once, okay? But every single day, both me and my wife as a team, we sort of self-evaluate ourselves on what we can work on a daily basis. And a lot of people ask all the time, please elaborate more. What do you mean by that? Well, on a daily basis, you can sort of think about all the categories in your life that you can sort of, you know, be better at. And that's mental, physically, spiritual, okay, personally, professionally, okay. And obviously, you can go into those particular categories even further. But to sort of break it down a little easier for you guys, the most easiest thing to probably address is a negative habit. Maybe if you guys sort of drink too much soda. I love soda. I sort of implement a cheat day, and me and my wife sort of, we eat healthy 6 days out of the week. We exercise 6 days out of the week. Okay, and that's something that you can sort of, you know, look at and say, okay, I definitely eat bad, so I can work on that. Okay. Also, I mean, if you lie or if you cheat or you steal,
karma's gonna get you.
Yes, yes, you can work on those as well. Also, smoking, drinking, drugging, those are some things that are sort of holding you back from your full potential, okay, and success in life, okay, because if you are drinking and drugging and partying and all those things, you're sort of gonna be creating more problems for yourself, I believe. But what happens if you decide to sort of clean up your life? What happens if you decide to sort of see your full potential in life? What happens if you don't lie or if you don't cheat, you don't steal, you don't drink, you don't drug? You sort of keep your side of the street clean and therefore you have less problems. You sort of open up a whole universe of sort of, you know, positive vibes. And that's how me and my wife live. But it took years to sort of get here, and we sort of addressed things, you know, one day at a time. And I remember, you know, years ago when I still, you know, smoked cigarettes, you know, I kept putting it off. Like, you know, and my wife was sort of complaining that I needed to, you know, quit smoking, and it smelled up the house, and the, you know, our clothes smelled, and I smelled, and it just was a very ugly, you know, behavior. Eventually, I sort of faced, you know, that particular habit, and we quit. You know, together.
I was not a smoker.
No, you were not. No, you were
you
not.
Did it on your own.
Yes, exactly. But what I'm trying, to point out to the listener that that was one of my habits that I had to clean up. Okay, the soda and the food are easy things that you can sort of point to and be like, all right, I can probably address that really quickly. But eventually, you know, I got to smoking and I got to quitting that and everything else. And you know, that is. I don't know, honey. That is.
I think that all is wonderful and amazing, and you did achieve that over years. Like we said in the beginning, like it took years to get where we are today, and where we are today is not, you know, our final destination. Mm-hmm. Where the goals that you're putting out before you should never be within reach 100% of perfection, because you're never going to be perfect. You just continue to improve on yourself from the day before. And how can I make these positive changes and these little changes every day so that if you compared my actions and behaviors and responsibility and success today versus yesterday, today should be an improvement.
Some people don't even get to make any changes. That's...
Well, that's their choice.
No, I understand that. But those are some of the people that we are trying to speak to right now. Those are people that they want help, but they don't know what they're doing. In our DMs all the time is, you know, tell us how you did it. How did you change? How did you, you know, put forth the effort?
And it's one of our, it's really just one of our favorite quotes. We actually just ordered this on a yeah. framed sign yes. in our podcast room, which yeah. we're coming live from, which is, uh-huh. by the way, in our new home.
Yes.
We are not in a studio. We're in like a studio setup we made. So we're really excited. But the quote is, nothing changes if nothing changes.
Oh, I love it.
So when you guys hit us up and you ask us, how did you do this? How did you do this? And it's really, it's within your power, regardless of your background, your financial status, mm-hmm. your relationship, your familial status, your recovery, or maybe being an active addiction. It's still up to you mm-hmm. how the story will continue. Mm-hmm. You know, the following day and the following weeks and years, and you have the power to turn it around at any time and any moment. So I really think that getting that to sink in is really an awakening when you finally decide that I'm the only one that yes, can actually change yes. this and fix it.
Pretty much every single thing in your life, I believe you can come back from and you can change.
Absolutely.
And
I mean, that's what, I'm not going to try to get spiritual right now, but I'm very into my faith. So uh-huh. like everything can be forgiven, mm-hmm. everything. Mm-hmm. And even some of the most heinous things you can think of, like you just have to make that change mm-hmm. to become like surrender yourself to your sin and just mm-hmm. become a better human being.
Make the choice to make
yeah.
a change
yeah.
or remain the same. yes, I love that. Well, you know, everyone knows that I love quotes, and, you know, your current situation is not your final destination, honey.
But even with Mike just went into like an amazing monologue for you guys about how he got to where he is today, which did take him a few years, but I don't want you to be overwhelmed. If you're listening to this and you're struggling yeah. financially, you're struggling in a bad relationship, or you're struggling in your addiction, I don't want you to be like, holy shit, I have to fix myself, not just to get sober. I have to fix myself here, physically, yes. spiritually. You know, don't take all yes. of that on. He's just covering the basis of how much self-work you can put in to yes. become such an amazing, better person. Take it one day at a time. Do little steps at a time. Yes. When Mike first got
small
sober,
victories.
100%. When Mike first got sober, all he did was go to the gym
yep.
and go to a meeting.
Yep, go to a gym and go to a meeting in the beginning. Yeah, and just to sort of get my footing.
And honestly, that's literally all he did.
You know what? It really is small steps in life for anything. And I think that we did such a great job with recovery, and that sort of set the tone when we sort of had to face the music and I had to go to prison, because we sort of, you know, we sort of learned how we handled recovery, you know, and we did so well with that, with patience and sort of working one day at a time to sort of reach our goals and things like that. Eventually, when I had to go to prison, we used those same principles to sort of survive in that particular situation as well.
Yeah. And let's really give it to you here, because I want you to know it was not easy in the beginning. Recovery is never easy for anyone, the addict, the family member, the relationship. It's really hard, and you're kind of on eggshells because you're hoping that it works out this time and it sticks, and you're just trying to get through time and get time under your belt. And when I say Mike went to meetings in the gym and that was it, that wasn't like the luxurious of his free time. That was him being unemployed. Like, he came out of rehab, he had no job.
And no place to live.
Yeah. So, you know, we struggled for a long time while he got back on his feet and then slowly got, you know, even the confidence back where he felt like he could go back to work and go work on TV.
I remember the first job that I got.
He didn't want to take.
I didn't want to take it,
right? The first offer he got. I'm like, how could you turn this down?
It was a Food Network deal, right?
Yeah.
And it was Worst Cooks. And they wanted me to be a worst cook. And I'm like, wait a second. I'm not a worst cook. You know what I'm saying? Like, I cooked all of the seasons of Jersey Shore. I didn't think I was a worst cook. And they explained to me that it wasn't necessarily really about the title Worst Cooks. At the end of the day, I'm not a chef, and I don't cook like a chef. I don't claim to be a chef, and that technically you are the worst chef.
Yeah. Well, it was Celebrity Worst Cook, so it was getting a few celebrities together and seeing who was the worst cook of the bunch, really.
The worst cook. That is another show, and that is not on the Food Network channel, okay? And that's what we're all about, is having fun, but that we'll talk about that next time. But yeah, you know, I had a lot of competition when I did that particular show. I didn't think that there was going to be anybody really on that show of Worst Cooks, and it turned out I ended up getting like third.
You did get third. Was it second or third?
I think I got third, to be honest.
Yeah, I forgot which dish put you out. We might have to rerun that. If you guys are listening, please go watch Worst Cooks.
Yeah.
Season 3, I think it was.
I'll be honest with you.
Of Celeb Worst Cooks.
If you're not first, you're last. So I don't really remember which season it was. But remember, I didn't want to do the season. I didn't think, because if I didn't have, you know, my body back at that particular time period, you know, I didn't have my confidence to go in front of the TV screen again. And little by little, over years, that confidence returned. But it only returned when I continued to sort of do the right thing. Am I right?
Yeah. It returned when you were able to be like your authentic self in front of people. Because I think for a long time, once you got deep in substances and on TV, you know, when you're on any substance, you're masking your true feeling. You don't even know where you are half the time. So there's no way to be authentic under the influence.
No. A lot of those seasons when I was under the influence, I definitely was living my worst life. But now, you know, in hindsight, you know, I feel like I'm living my best life. You know, I'm being my best self. And even going back to the most recent episodes of Jersey Shore Family Vacation, I was also nervous to do those as well.
Yes, because the reboot. When they signed the reboot, you were very nervous. You were immediately on board. You never were going to think about not doing it.
But I was nervous I was going to be around that environment again. And I had about 2 years clean and sober. A very good foundation. But I was like, how am I going to do this show again with a bunch of savages?
I just wanted to ask you how you slept last night, because I did change the bed sheets.
Oh my goodness.
To a new brand on
you. You changed the sheets? I thought it was the extra melatonin that I took last night, because I really got a good sleep last night. And you changed the sheets?
I did change the sheets. So I just found out about this company called Etitude, and they have this really cool fabric that's called clean bamboo.
Oh my goodness.
It's actually the holy grail of fabric.
Oh, damn.
Some of you might have heard about bamboo sheets, but Etitude's clean bamboo is the third generation of bamboo bedding technology, and it is absolutely amazing. Etitude sheets are feathery soft, not to mention beautiful. One customer said, they make my 1300 count Egyptian cotton sheets feel like sandpaper. Best sleep of my life.
Oh my goodness. Wow. You know what? Mosey was really snuggling last night in our sheets, and I didn't know what it was. He was loving life, and that man is He is the softest, furriest pet you can own. We have a golden retriever named Mosey Johnson's, and he just loves to snuggle. So I'm going to have to tell Mosey that we changed the sheets last night.
He's smart. He loves soft anything, so they're super soft if he loved it.
Oh, my goodness.
And wow. The sheets that I've replaced are like super fancy sheets from an amazing resort we went to on our honeymoon.
Yeah.
That cost a lot of money. So the fact that you felt just as good on these makes me really happy.
Well, also, I would say that it's very important to get restful sleep.
It is. And Etitude sheets are soft as silk, breathable as linen, but at the price of cotton. You're going to love them. When you support our sponsors, you support our show. And right now, our listeners will get 20% off your set of Etitude sheets and free shipping. Just text SITUATION to 6400. That's SITUATION to 6400.
Wow. Sounds like a good situation to me, honey. Where do I fit in? Can I still be the funny guy? Like, you know, like, and plus I had a girlfriend at the time. I couldn't go to clubs anymore and sort of be, you know, that guy. So I sort of had to, you know, reinvent myself. And I'll be honest with you, I challenged myself in my recovery. And I became this, you know, the best version of myself. Now when I go to a club, you know, I'm sort of vibing out, you know, on a vibe, you know, people have to drink alcohol.
And a frequency, higher frequency.
Yeah. People have to drink or they have to take a substance to sort of be on my level. I believe that. So,
yeah. Well, I have to say that you impressed me very much when the reboot happened.
Yes.
And you really stepped up to the plate of proving yourself, I think, to yourself first and foremost, that you could go back into that environment and go where, you know, you really went wild and your addiction did not start there, but where you really, you know, went crazy with the substance abuse and down a dark path with that. So the fact that you went into the lion's den.
Faced my fears.
And exactly, faced your fears and also your dream at the same time. Jersey Shore was one of your biggest accomplishments. Yeah. You always had such a great relationship with your cast members who are like your family now. Yeah. And it was really important to you to be able to do that and withhold your reputation you built.
Yep.
You know, for the past 2 years.
Yeah.
The really cool thing that I love about Jersey Shore Family Vacation and the reboot is that while Mike was putting in all this work, getting sober and clean, the world didn't get a chance to see that and see the person that he is at his core and the person who he fought for to be today. And then when the reboot happened, it gave Mike the opportunity to share himself with the world. And he really, you know, took the ball and ran with it. And I couldn't be prouder for you.
Oh my God, honey.
Or prouder of you.
I love you, honey.
And I love you too. And you really did. You really made your family proud, especially me and Mosey.
Oh my goodness, Mosey, that man. Mosey is our golden retriever. He is the sweetest man on earth, really quickly. But also, I want to point out to the listener that I wouldn't suggest you trying to go to a club if you are newly sober, okay? I went when I was, you know, over 2 years clean and sober, very strong foundation. And I was really forced to sort of challenge myself. So I wouldn't rush back into a scene that, you know, kind of destroyed you.
Or distractions.
Yes, those are distractions. But I like I said, I don't, I wouldn't shun it, I guess. I wouldn't say no to it. I would say continue.
It's not impossible.
Exactly.
That's the thing. It's not impossible. It's mind over matter.
Exactly.
And
I was
proved that it could be done.
Exactly. I was trying to show people that, listen, you can still go out and have fun and not necessarily have to have a drink. And actually, I have more fun now, you know, because I'm on a vibe, not a substance.
Yeah.
And it takes time to get on that vibe and that frequency.
It does. I'm still trying.
It takes years. My wife is like, oh my God, honey, like, how are you walking around with a smile all the time? When I was in prison, the guys were like, dude, you're the only guy in prison with a smile right now. And I'd be like, listen, because I have hope that every single day that I wake up, I have a chance, a clean slate every single day to sort of, you know, achieve my goals and dreams, you know? And here we are again today.
And that's one thing everybody has. If you're listening to this and you're alive, you have the same 24 hours everyone else does to start your day and improve a little bit over the last.
Yep.
Just slow and steady wins the race.
Exactly. Life is a marathon and not a sprint. There should be like a little bell that rings every time I say a quote, because there's going to be lots of it. I love quotes. I live by quotes. My wife sometimes gets mad at me, but I love them and they're very meaningful
to me. Why would I get mad about you over a quote? What are you talking about?
You said that because I say them too much.
Oh, in the house. No, I love the quotes that he says, but sometimes he says so many of them that, and he really, we believe them and we live by them, but sometimes if we're in a meeting or filming something, he says so many in a row, people might think it's like a cliche and he's kind of saying them as a script, but it's like, no, he lives by them.
I know.
Part of his core.
I really do. And
it's like a mantra.
Yes. And we can sort of talk about this, you know, positivity topic for
forever.
You know what I mean? But this is sort of our first episode and we're really diving in a little bit. Positivity is a choice. And as a family,
facts.
That's how we live our life. You're going to, on a daily basis, you're going to face, you know, life on life's terms, you know? And it's your job how you sort of react to those situations. And if you react negatively to those, I believe that you will sort of get a negative reaction. But if you react positively, I believe that you will get, you know, positive results.
100%. And I think one of the biggest ones that I find myself working on lately is dropping the ego.
Oh my God. Tell them about the ego. Oh my God.
That's a really hard one.
Yeah. You know what, guys? Like, our podcast is really going to be about everything, but we're going to really give you guys some really good, like, substance, some really good, like, depth. Okay. We're going to talk about ego and pride, and we're trying to really help your quality of life out, because we are living our best life right now, and so can you.
And honestly, these conversations that we're having, this is what me and Mike do when we're not recording a podcast. Like, we will sit at lunch or dinner and I'll be like, why do you think I feel this way about that?
Oh my God.
What is that? And he'll be like, it's your ego. Yeah. And I'll be like, oh shit, that is what that is.
Yeah.
And I need to not react that way.
Yes.
And for me, like, the best way to keep my ego in check is when your first gut reaction is to react to something defensively.
Mm-hmm.
Like, before I even say the words, and if I'm having that feeling, I'll just think about it. And it'd be like, why do I feel this way? Why do I want to say this?
Exactly.
And if you run it through in your brain, which, being like, you know, Italian and from New Jersey, it really took me years to learn that process before flying off the handle.
Yeah.
But if you really take the time to get to know yourself and learn that practice,
yes,
it can prevent so many dumb arguments between relationships, any relationship.
Workplace, everything.
Everything.
Everything. A lot of our fans and people on social medias, they want to know what is the key to sort of a long-lasting relationship? And we really didn't get to the questions part, and I sort of skipped some things here. But I did a little bit of homework last night, and we're kind of going into this topic about relationships. And we did do Marriage Bootcamp, which spoke about a little bit love language. I thought was helpful.
It was helpful. It was definitely helpful
for us
at the time.
What is a love language for anyone that may be listening right now?
A love language is how you receive and perceive love in your life.
And everybody communicates differently.
Yes.
And you need to understand that and not necessarily jump to conclusions when you get sort of some communication from your lover.
And most partners that are attracted to each other and become, you know, a couple and a married couple have different love languages. So by educating yourself about what they are, then you can say, okay, I fit mostly in this category and my husband fits in this category. And this is why we're butting heads on this topic, because what you may be, you know, gifts and feeling, there is one that's actually called gifts, because it's like, it could be the simplest thing, giving a piece of chocolate.
What she's talking about is something like, you know, when I was younger, my father used to give us gifts, you know, to apologize. Am I right, honey? You're speaking about something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, I'm sort of, anytime that me and my wife get into an argument, she's like, are you trying to buy my affection? No, that's how I show my affection. That's how I was sort of brought up.
Well, yeah, that might be part of your love language. Some is like physical touch.
Yes.
There's a bunch of them. I don't remember all of them right now.
Yeah.
But it's definitely comes down to communication.
Yes. And patience.
And patience. And like I was talking before about like when I ask Mike when I get upset about certain business things or anything that is distracting to me and from my peace or taking me away from my happiness.
Oh, God.
When we communicate about it is the best way to work your way through it. So, yes, it's hard to do that when your husband or significant other is taking you out of your peace. It's hard to say, honey, why are you making me feel this way?
Yeah. Now, I would definitely suggest patience and communication, right, honey?
Patience. Oh, yeah, for sure. Patience, communication, running the tape.
Yes.
Which is
tell them what running the tape is.
I kind of just explained it.
You did, but I think
I didn't
you need to
say
go into
the words
further.
Running the tape.
Running the tape was.
If I yeah, running the tape, I'll do it because I had to really learn that.
And where did we learn it?
So this is the thing: a lot of these principles and skills and information and insight all came from what Mike learned in recovery.
Yeah.
And in his groups and meetings and
therapies
and therapy sessions. And like I said, he put a ton
of work,
and ton of time commitment into his recovery in the first foundational few years. He still does to today, which he's expanded into helping others and doing some stuff like that with the communities. But on himself, he spent so much time into it that he would bring home all these like gems and pieces of like inspiration and ways that you don't realize to look at life. So while I'm not an addict and in recovery or sober, I am so grateful for that program because it has changed my life.
I'm
married to one. Well, not only that, but it's changed my life and has the program has developed me into such a better person.
For the better,
for just the educational things like run the tape. And do you want to explain what running
the tape is? Yes. Run the tape is a principle that I sort of learned in recovery. And it is sort of a like a risk assessment tool in your brain. Okay. And almost like if you are going to be in a conversation or necessarily an argument with somebody, you need to sort of run the tape. And you really don't want to get out of your peace is what it's called. So if someone is sort of sort of getting you upset, you want to sort of exit the situation. But something a little easier about running the tape is here's a very easy one to understand. If you go to a bar and you drink and you drive, what is going to be the results, honey?
Oh my God, you could kill somebody.
Exactly. Yeah. What else?
And then be in jail for that. And ruin their life and ruin your life.
Keep going, keep running the
tape.
You
could get arrested.
Keep going.
You're gonna get fined.
Oh my
your
God.
Car is gonna get impounded.
Oh my God, you're gonna take my shmoney?
You're gonna get your license suspended.
Oh my goodness.
You're not gonna be able to get to work.
Yeah.
You're gonna fight with whoever you're in a relationship with at that time.
Uh-huh.
Your kids are gonna hate you if you have kids.
Oh my goodness.
So you just destroyed your life over like one really little thing.
Yes. So technically that.
So take that Uber.
Yes. So technically that right there is called running the tape. And you go over all of the scenarios that will happen if you decide to, let's just say, drink and drive. If you're going to drink, make sure you get an Uber so that you sort of drink responsibly, okay? So that's something really, you know, easy because it will save you a lot of trouble. And
a lot of suffering, a lot of damage.
I do that with everything in my life, including, you know, conversations, a lot of my choices on a daily basis to make sure that I make as minimal mistakes as possible. You know, we are human. We are going to make mistakes in life. But if I could sort of minimize that so that I could sort of excel in life, we are going to try, God damn it.
Okay, honey. So what did you think of dinner last night?
Actually, dinner was fire. I thought you were trying to butter me up for a little, you know what I'm saying?
So you liked it.
I really did. It was very good.
Okay, guys. So I use this new program called Every Plate. Every Plate dinners are the cheaper alternative dinners to takeout or delivery. Recipes come together in about 30 minutes, definitely faster than a trip to the grocery store and starting a meal from scratch. Think of it this way, one meal is the same price as one cup of coffee. Get 3 weeks of Every Plate meals for only $2.99 per meal by going to everyplate.com and entering code SITUATION3. That's 3 weeks of Every Plate meals for only $2.99 per meal at everyplate.com by entering code SITUATION3. That's up to a $72 value and 40% off each of your first 3 boxes. That's a good situation.
Very good situation, honey.
All right, guys. So Mike and I have been planning this podcast for a little while now, and Mike posted on Instagram and some social media outlets asking all of you questions for us, and we're going to answer some of them here today. So I know we have a lot of them, but these were the most popular, so we're just going to touch upon a few of them. So first most popular question so far.
What is it, honey?
Why is Lauren called Lauren's?
Oh my goodness. The elusive Lauren's question. Yes.
So yes, guys, my name is Lauren. Okay. My legal name is Lauren, like L-A-U-R-E-N, no S.
Yes.
However, when the reboot started,
yes,
of Jersey Shore, my husband was going through a phase where he was adding S's to the end of every word.
And I was doing that because it was sort of like a baby talk with my fiance at the time.
It was, girlfriend.
We were girlfriend, boyfriend at the time.
Yeah, and halfway through.
Yeah, and we had this little cute phase where I kind of used S's at home, only at home. And all of a sudden, my friends sort of picked up on it, and they thought it was like kind of like funny, but kind of cool. So I kind of incorporated it into Jersey Shore because I've gotten famous from being myself and being authentic. So why not, you know, continue to show the world this little funny aspect, which was sort of adding the S to certain things, which kind of was just to add some humor to a conversation or sentence.
Yes, it's very addictive and it's very cute. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it gets a little complicated when there's a lot of S's. But even to add to that story, just because it's a really cool behind the scenes story too of making the show, when they were filming season one of the reboot in Miami, they didn't have their cell phones. So originally in the old Jersey Shore, they would not have cell phones or TVs or anything like that, so they couldn't communicate with the outside world. So basically, since it's 2000, what's the year was the reboot? 2018. So since it was that time, their social media everywhere, every night they would go out, the whole footage and stuff would be on social media of what was happening. So I would call the house or Mike would call me to say goodnight every night at like 3 a.m. or 4 a.m., depending on what time they got in. And the guy started calling it Lauren's Reports.
Yes.
Because Mike would call me and I'd be like, oh my God, you guys were at a club. There's video footage of Ronnie.
Paparazzi's.
Dancing with people.
Yeah.
And Vinny and all this stuff. And they're like, what? What? Oh my God. It's out there. It's on the gram. And then so every night they would call me and Paulie would call it Lauren's Reports.
Yep.
So then when I came down there, it was like a double effect of Mike adding an S to it and Lauren's Reports.
Yeah. Everyone was really starting to use the S's. And at the end of the day, like I said, it works and sometimes it doesn't. I feel like I have the experience with being able to use it where it's funny. Sometimes it doesn't work. I see people trying to use it all the time. Sometimes it doesn't work.
Okay, babe, this question's for you. Any possible shows for you and Lauren?
We are working on something now. Very, very cool stuff, but we really can't release too much information about it. Stay tuned.
Yes, definitely. Stay tuned for that. We'll have some info soon for you guys.
We start, shooting in spring.
Something is happening
in springtime.
And we'll share it with you guys.
And it is something that we are really, really good at.
And passionate about.
Yes.
Okay. Besides, I love this question because I think I actually saw this.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of giggled. Besides rehab and prison, what are the biggest challenges you had to overcome?
Oh my goodness. Besides rehab and prison, those are the two very, very big mountains to climb. What is it, honey?
Those were definitely the larger challenges we had to overcome in our lives. I don't know that.
I mean, to be honest with you, if I'm going to answer that question, once you face your fears in life, okay, and once you sort of face your nightmares, everything else, you take head on.
Yes.
We got this, honey.
I love that. Okay, Netflix show you guys watch together.
I think you just made me watch that Cheer show, to be honest with you.
I did. Yeah. I love Cheer. I love it. I binge watched it while Mike was on a press trip in LA.
Yeah.
And when he came home, I made him watch it just so he could know what Matt Talk is. So knew what Matt I was talking Talk. About. Yes. So he watched a few episodes and then was over it. But yes. I loved it. What inspires you both to be better people?
I feel that I've been blessed to be with my soulmate. And your soulmate is someone that forces you or sort of encourages you to sort of be your best self. On a daily basis, I chase greatness. I chase, trying to be my best version for my wife and my family. So thank you, honey.
I love you. Yeah, I think I feel the same way. I think just wanting laughing at me. It's like the easy response. But no, I want to be better for myself and my family, my husband, my dog, everything.
We hold ourselves to a very, very high standard.
And I think once I started doing the work with Mike in our community, with working with rehabs,
it's the best.
And talking to recovery groups, especially the family groups, I really found like a bigger meaning in life and a bigger purpose of bringing other people comfort and a sense of light at the end of the tunnel.
Yep.
And support. And that alone makes me like want to be a better person to continue to show them that like there's a better way.
Yep.
And it's possible for any family member to turn it around.
Sounds good, honey. What's the next one?
How does it feel when you're out trying to live a normal life and people stare and ask for photos?
I think I deal with it better than my wife does. But to be honest, the past couple months, including I think it was today, people come up to us and just congratulate us. And sometimes they have like tears in their eyes, I think it has to do with a lot with the recovery stuff, honey. And it's very, very meaningful to us. As human beings, that we have that effect on people in the streets.
Yes, it definitely takes a long time to get used to it. Mike has, I don't know, 6+ or 7 more years than me of experience with that, I was saying.
You're doing better though.
I am doing better now. It takes a long time to get used to. It is not a normal feeling, no matter anything. It's just not normal. But I think for me, it has helped. Well, just what Mike said, like obviously the fans are amazing with the recovery stuff. So we really see how much it resonates when they approach us. And of course, I never mind taking pictures with fans. It's just like in the moment of knowing.
Yeah.
Like knowing you're being watched or like weird times. You know what I mean?
We love our fans and they come first. But at the end of the day, we also are human.
Yes.
And, it's really good to sort of get a little bit of privacy time, especially when we go out to dinner.
Yeah.
Sometimes people will, come up to you in mid, like, bite.
Yeah.
And to be honest, we sort of put our fork down immediately and we take the photo. But sometimes it's not fun. That's all.
Yeah. And I think a big part of that is, for me, it was putting down my ego of like, I'm a human just like them too. Yep. And if they're excited to see me, like how lucky am I that they excited to see me? And that's really what made me be a lot better with it.
That just cleansed my soul right
there. Because I used to feel like violated with it. But now I feel
my wife can be really feisty at times. So when I hear her get real spiritual and stuff, like I'm turned on over here.
Okay, next question. The best way to support an addict without enabling?
Oh my God. That is definitely a hard question.
Tough love.
Yeah. I definitely would say tough love for sure.
Boundaries.
Healthy boundaries. And sort of, I don't know, it's definitely a tough situation because you want to get them in treatment and a lot of the times they're very resistant. I think you have to sort of offer that helping hand, but also not enable.
Yeah, it's a double-edged sword. There's no easy or right answer to that question. It's like the universal question that every family member is searching for when they have a loved one that's struggling, and it's hard no matter what. Yeah. But keeping your keeping your boundaries up, having your faith in your higher power, and always letting them know that the opportunity is there for you to help them when they're ready to make that change.
Exactly. I totally agree with that, honey. 1,000%.
Okay. How did you pick your new house?
Oh my goodness. Tell them how, honey, how you sort of went about this. I was actually in prisons at this time when my wife had picked out the house, and I had total faith in her when she had picked it.
But yeah, it took a while, though, right, honey? Yeah, we were looking for years, and I think that we'll probably share more info about that on the new season of Jersey Shore. I think you guys get to see us moving.
Yeah, moving. And maybe even a little tour of the house, maybe. We'll see.
Yeah. So it might not have all our furniture in it yet.
I'll be honest. I'm probably going to cry like a little baby.
I know. Because it's going to be so emotional.
It's going to be very emotional. Like the minute I was released from prison, I was picked up by MTV and we went straight to filming and straight to work. And I'll be honest, at the end of the day, I sort of again challenged myself. And I wouldn't have it any other way. You know what I'm saying? Like, you guys get to see some really raw, uncut footage. And that's what's so cool about Jersey Shore. And at least definitely the situation. You're going to get some real, genuine, authentic footage. And there's always a situation.
And what advice would you give yourself starting the shore?
Oh, goodness. I would sit down a young OG situation. And I would tell him that you will climb many mountains, my son, because I have. And don't give up on yourself. Eventually, everything happens for a reason. And keep your faith. Everything will work out in the end. And that's really the God's honest truth.
That's a great one, honey. And that closes out our fan questions for this first episode.
Well, I kind of want to finish out this podcast really strong.
Okay. Go for it.
I want to go over a subject, okay, that I'm very passionate about. Okay?
Oh my God, how long is this going to be?
It's not going to be long, honey. I think we can really power through this one. What is it, honey? I want to talk about haters.
Oh my goodness.
I want to talk about haters on social media and how we deal with them, okay? Do you block them? Do you restrict them? Or do you let them be? Because haters are going to hate. Do you let them hate? I mean, how do you handle that, Mrs. Situation?
It depends the level of hate. If it is like stupid and I'm like, it's petty, I just let them be because my fans will attack them and massacre them, and then they'll have to change their username and like create a new account and hide. So like if it's stupid, I just leave it. If it's like really extremely degrading or like hits a nerve, many things do not hit nerves with me, but like, obviously, everybody knows what we went through, you know, in the beginning or of October and stuff. So if it's stuff about like not nice stuff, like trolls are trolls. But if it's not nice stuff about like the things I've gone through that were hard, then I restrict them.
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm trying to get to right now. I don't know if everyone out there knows about the restrict button.
Oh my God. The restrict button is the best thing Instagram ever created.
Exactly. Because the restrict button, you are necessarily blocking someone and they don't even know about it. Okay. They can continue to hate. They are still a follower. Yes. I still get that number, but at the same time, their hate stays.
And they still see your page.
Yeah, and the hate stays with sort of the, is that the recipient? Is that the right word?
No, it stays with the person giving it.
It stays with the person giving it. And that's what I'm trying to sort of get
and
back.
And the coolest thing about it is that when you restrict somebody, they obviously don't get a notification. They still see your profile, as opposed to when you block someone, they can't see anything or comment. A restricted person can continue to comment, and they'll see the comment. However, nobody else will. We will see it and it'll say restricted comment in a shaded out area. And all we have to do is click see comment. And it's really interesting because, honey, what happens when you see a restricted comment and you hit view a lot of the times? And keep in mind, we only restrict people when they're extremely vile, degrading, heinous comments. And then when I see another comment pop up that says restricted, I'm like, oh my God, this is going to be the worst thing I ever read. And it'll be like, I love you. I'm your number one fan.
That is exactly the punchline I'm getting across to you guys right now. Okay. It is very sensitive. I mean, are we supposed to be kind to the unkind people? Okay. Because
they need it most.
They need it most. Hurt people. Okay. In my DMs, I think yesterday, and this is the reason why I wanted to bring this up today, was a restricted commenter. And when I went to see what they had in my DMs was, I'm your biggest fan. Can you believe that? I restricted this person because of the negativity that they were bringing to my page, but now they are my biggest fan. So that is really my my punchline or the moral of this story, that your haters,
they truly are.
They truly are your biggest fans. Okay, they are a bit. The word is conflicted, or
they're like resentful of, I don't know what it is, but they really truly are your biggest fans. It was like the biggest cliched lesson I learned with the after that restrict button, I have to say.
Oh, well, that was sort of my end rant for this particular end of our podcast, but I hope you guys enjoyed it. Anyways, until next time, guys, I'm Mike.
And I'm Lauren.
And here's the sitch. See you next time.